Page 126 of The Unfolding is the story of Brandon Richardson and his good friend, Ryan Stevenson.
Every single person under the sound of my voice is sovereignly graced, gifted, and called by God. And the key is to steward, know what God has called us to do, but also steward every relationship that God brings into your life.
God's story has been unfolding
since the beginning of time.
He invites you to be a part of it.
Another page in the unfolding.
Hey, this is Meredith Foster. Brandon Richardson is an artist known as Richland. He was a lanky junior hire the first time that he met Ryan Stevenson, who was a college student at the time. Over the years, their interaction at a summer camp forged friendship and respect and an awareness of the gifts that God had placed in each other. Both of these guys are talented singers, songwriters, musicians. While Brandon is kind of a newcomer, Ryan is known for songs like Eye of the Storm and No Matter What. Brandon never really dreamed of being a recording artist, but because of the relationships that God had weaved into his life, he had a passion to follow God's call to spread grace and hope however God wanted him to do that. This is a story of the power of a mother's words and her love, the power of friendship, and how God is weaving those relationships in your life to lead you to his calling even when you don't realize it.
So I grew up in a small ranching community called Paisley, Oregon. Population at the time, 250.
Oh my goodness. The
logging industry was still a massive thing during that time. And so once that went downhill, it was like a population 120.
But oh my goodness.
So my dad grew up in the ranching industry. So we like to joke that my dad looks like the Marlboro Man, cowboy, big Stetson hat. He's my hero. He's 60 years old and he's in better shape than I am and runs circles around me and my brother. And so as far as work ethic, my dad was a dreamer. So my dad only had an eighth grade education. And now years of hard work managing cattle operations for 26 years now. He's been building log homes. So he owns his own custom log home, handcraft log homes, if you will, business.
Wow.
And so he's my hero. And my mom was my youth pastor. So I like to say, you know, my dad was the redneck that gave me country music. And my mom was the one that, you know, spiritually kept us in check and really laid a foundation for my brother. And I have one sibling, a younger brother of 2 years. And so I had this amazing, I grew up in the 90s, so I'm 37. So we had this fun, free childhood, so to speak, to where you're in a small town, there's not much to do, but you were outside all the time and you loved every minute of it and you didn't know anything else. And so there was always that saying, you can grow up in the city and rarely have an appreciation for the country, but if you grow up in the country, you can go to the city, but you'll always have that appreciation for where you grew up because it was such a pivotal piece of who we became, you know, growing up as young men, young women, learning how to work, be outside, respect. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You know, so in a way it was, and still is, that area. I go back today. I have friends that are still there and it's timeless. Like nothing has changed.
Wow. And that's rare. Wild. That's so rare.
It so is, but that's cowboy culture, you know, agriculture, if you will. And my good friend Ryan Stevenson, who grew up in Bonanza, he can attest to that. Those ranching farming communities, it's like time stands still.
Is it literally Bonanza? That's literally the name of it?
That's the name of my hometown.
It is.
Yeah, Bonanza. It was named Bonanza because of the abundant, there's a ton of natural springs. And when it was settled in the 1800s, the farmers and the settlers loved it because there was so much. There's a place right in the middle of town called Big Springs Park, and it's just the ground just boils with with gorgeous, freezing cold natural spring water. And so the farmers plant that's, and it's super agricultural there. So it's all dairy farmers and alfalfa hay farmers.
It sounds so idyllic, you know, and maybe it is.
There's a reason that the West, you know, the cowboy, it's romanticized. And because it really is, because it's the one thing that hasn't changed. Industries change, technology becomes a part, but it really hasn't. That piece, wow. Even technology hasn't really touched.
You're making everybody want to go visit or move there. Yeah, so your surroundings pretty idyllic. You know, sounds like you're living in a time when you could still be pretty isolated. I mean, not social media, right? Where before any of that kind of stuff, right. Which sounds kind right. of amazing. As a parent of teenagers, it sounds amazing, yes. Right? And then, so you get the spiritual foundation from your parents.
My mom.
Your mom. Yeah. Talk about that relationship with your mom. And like when you first thought that Jesus was going to be important to you.
So I remember as a kid, because I grew up in the church. I remember, you know, from the time I was little, knowing, loving Jesus. But it wasn't until I was fifth, sixth grade that my mom had this profound experience, if you will, with the Lord to where it completely shifted her life. So she was a stay-at-home mom at the time and had this, she would, her verbiage, she would say she had an encounter with the presence of God.
Ooh, wow.
And it launched her into ministry. And so she really felt like she was supposed to begin to serve the young people of Paisley, Oregon. And so she became a youth pastor. And so not only did she help me kind of delve into local church ministry, if you will, leading worship, preaching, but she would drag us to conference after conference, and she would just get us around the things of God. And that maybe even more so than just being plugged into our little local church in Paisley, Oregon. That was so important because I was exposed to kingdom culture, you know, where you're experiencing moments in worship that are so, the presence of God is tangible. And as a kid, you have no language for it,
yeah.
But you're going, whoa, this is real. Whatever that thing is, that's real and it's impacting me and affecting me. I could tell you where I was when I heard Obsession by Martin Delirious, a local worship band playing it in Albany, Oregon, and just beginning to cry and having no idea why. But the Holy Spirit was so strong and so tangible. And that was all a direct result of my mom being hungry for the things of God and saying, I'm going to get my kids to wherever I have to go so they're experiencing the presence of God and they're hearing the word. And so my mom was really instrumental in that. And not only that, but calling my brother and myself up. So she would always say, Brandon, you're a leader. And you have something to say. And people like you. People want to hear what you have to say. So I always say, and I heard another minister recently say the same thing, that I really had a head start in that respect.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing, it wasn't long later, it also lit a fire in my dad. And now my dad, there was a period just a couple years ago, he was pastoring a little, that same church in Paisley. All those years later, they would drive 2.5 hours one way to go preach at a local community church in Paisley, my dad. And so—
That's incredible.
It's wild. It's wild. So, and if you can imagine a guy who looks like the Marlboro Man as cowboy Sam Elliott through and through preaching the God. He's my hero, but you could say that my mom was really responsible for the spiritual trajectory of my family.
When you think about those getting exposed to kingdom culture, do you remember any experiences in particular that you walked away from that it really changed your view of what's possible with God?
absolutely. One, I remember being at a church in Sacramento, California. I just finished my first year in college, and it was great. As much as I had been impacted by those times with my mom at different places, I had never really had, you know, what I would say my own personal encounter. I could sense the presence of God, but I'll never forget. It was 2004 in June at a Baptist church in Rockland. Actually, Roseville, California. And I had this, you know, what I'll just call on this with you, Meredith, a profound encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it absolutely shifted what I knew I was called to do. And really, in a lot of ways, has set me on the journey that I'm on today. Absolutely 110%. And I remember a long time ago, there was a quote, I cannot remember, I can't give you the author, but maybe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, a man with an experience is never subject to a man with an argument. And all it takes is one raw encounter, one moment in the presence of God, it will change your life forever. So now, having four kids of my own, three boys, one little girl, who runs our house, by the way, I'm so, everything that I went through, my journey, I know how important it is to create space in our own home for the Lord to move. So my wife's amazing. She plays piano. And so there'll be times of worship and my kids are learning how to just soak and enjoy the presence of God and worship, but also knowing the older they get, I want to take them places where the Lord's moving and give them opportunity to encounter the Lord in the same way that my mom gave me that opportunity.
That's so really cool. I just love to think about the generational impact, you know, and yes, passing that down. What you're describing to me is like going from I know it to I know that I know that I know. And there's no way anybody can take away
100%
what God's done in your through that. I love that. But you mentioned it sort of changed what you thought you were going to do or be. Maybe we have not acknowledged the fact that you're 6'5" tall. And basketball was a big part of your growing up, right?
I did. I grew up playing basketball. Well, where I grew up, there was really nothing else to do. There were sports, there was fishing, or you were just working at a local ranch or farm, you know, for your parents or your family. And I fell in love with the game of basketball at an early age. I had an uncle that took me to a Trailblazer game back in the early 90s when Clyde the Glide and Terry Porter and Buck Williams were a part of Rip City. And I fell in love with the game and just, you know, began to sleep with the basketball in the same way that Pistol Pete Maravich did. And I loved the game. But eventually I realized once I got out of Paisley and started playing with guys that were a lot better than me, that, I didn't want to play 365 days a year, you know, even if it was on a scholarship. When at that time I wasn't disciplined enough to commit to something like that. But so, yeah, the spiritual piece of all of that, to kind of put a bow on what we're talking about. Honestly, I didn't mean for this whole thing to be about my mom, but...
But it is.
Mom, if you're listening to this, I love you. But the fact that she had always, my mom from an early age, again, you're a leader. People like you. They want to hear what you have to say. And the Lord has something for you. And so even I knew when sports were no longer going to be a reality, because that was, you know, my dream, along with millions of other little kids' dreams of playing in the NBA or, you know, some form of professional sports. I knew there was something that the Holy Spirit had for me. And so once basketball was over, fast forward to my first year of college outside of my freshman year, I said, Lord, I have to have an experience and know. And it wasn't just the experience. I need to know that there is something for me. Mm-hmm. I've heard my mom tell me for year after year after year that there's something of a prophetic assignment for you to minister and serve people. I just didn't know what it was. I could play music. I'd led worship. But I didn't know. Mm-hmm. That I knew that was what I was called to do. But it was after that moment with the Holy Spirit, that encounter with the Lord, if you will, where I just knew there was no going back. You know, the word says we will taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste, it literally opens up your eyes. And so I had that Ephesians 1:18, the spirit of wisdom and revelation opening up the eyes of my understanding in my heart. And after that moment, I knew I was called to serve people, whether it be preaching, whether it be singing, that my life was to, one, facilitate those kinds of moments for other people, and just be a communicator, be a communicator of the hope and the grace, machine gun grace to an entire generation. However, the Lord, you know, would give me a platform to do that. And so that moment was the springboard into doing what I'm doing today.
And what Brandon is doing today is pretty exciting. One of the ways he spreads that hope and grace he was talking about is through music, and you're going to get to hear some of that coming up, as well as how an old friendship became an instrumental part of Brandon identifying part of God's call on his life. Part two of his story is coming up after this from Habib Habib, founder of H Squared Leadership Institute.
Habib, I heard you talk about how we live our entire lives imposing our own limitations on ourselves, not realizing the full extent of our God-given abilities. That, to me, is both scary and inspiring, right?
Yeah, it's scary because if you live all your life imposing limitations and you're at the end of your life and you could have done so much more, mm-hmm. I would have been that guy. But God forced me through adversity to snap out of my shell. You know, I was stranded here because of civil war in Lebanon. I started working at Arby's for $1.65, put me on the front counter. That brought me out of my shell and changed the course of my life in the future. And I'm inspired that if me, the timid guy who really was operating probably at 30%, can operate at higher than that, how much more can I inspire people through my story and other stories from the Bible? Many people were like that. Ordinary people did extraordinary things. That's really what I mean by we don't live up to our God-given potential. Mm-hmm. Lift your eyes up to the skies from where our strength come, and you will have the power and the motivation to do a lot more than you're doing right now.
And if you need a little encouragement along the way, there's some really encouraging stuff at Habib's website.
Yes, HabibHabib.com.
And now the rest of Brandon Richardson's story. So you didn't have clarity on the, you know, I'm going to get a record contract, and, you know, that wasn't clear. You just knew you were called to do something. So how did you walk that out? What was, you know, what were kind of the moments along the way that said, oh, we're going to go this direction, or relationships that you had maybe that helped?
Right. So I obviously, when you have a moment in the presence of God, you love worship, because in worship, when we're ministering to the Lord, he responds by pouring out his presence, and that presence touches us. And so I began to lead worship in the local church, went to ministry school and Bible school in Washington, finished up in Dallas, Texas. And so I spent 10 years serving the local church as a worship pastor and associate pastor. But during that time, I would continue to write songs, not because I was hoping one day I'd have a record deal or a platform. I just loved writing my own songs to where I was communicating to the Lord or encouraging people. But years ago, I connected with a guy named Ryan Stevenson, who's from Bonanza, Oregon, at a Bible camp called Fir Point Bible Camp out in Grants Pass, Oregon. I was in sixth grade. I believe he was in his freshman year of college, serving as like a counselor, cabin leader. And we connected, and every summer for the next 2-3 summers, we would connect right there at Bible camp, and we would connect on music. And I always remember being so impressed because he was a part of this community of musicians in Eugene, which years later, people would come to know Sean McDonald, Paul Wright, Matt Carney. And I was always inspired by the fact that he would write, and he would write his own songs. And there was a window, there was a gap where Ryan and I didn't connect or communicate. We just kind of fell apart. Me moving to Texas, and he was in Idaho working as a paramedic at the time. And then all these years later, I'm on staff at a church in Tacoma, Washington, and I get an email from a booking agency trying to get Ryan Stevenson to come play a show at our church. And at the time, I didn't recognize Ryan. In fact, I'll never forget seeing the email and then going home that night, being like, man, I know Ryan. I know a guy named Ryan Stevenson. But I went back the next day and looked, and sure enough, it was Ryan. Because when I was hanging with Ryan, Ryan was much larger. And and he can tell you and share his story, but I knew Ryan. He's probably close to 290, 300 pounds. And here is this svelte, in shape, good-looking guy who is signed to a label, and I had this aha moment. I'm like, that's my dude. That's Ryan. I could not believe it. And so we reconnected, and, you know, I can honestly say that Ryan, the Lord, the Holy Spirit has used Ryan to connect me to really everything that the Lord is doing through us as a ministry right now, which speaks to, I mean, we could go on talking about the power of stewardship and stewarding not just your gift, but relationships. I think relationships, you know, are the greatest currency, really stewarding friendships at a heart level. But, so it's really funny how all those years ago, back in 1995, the Lord goes back in time and reconnects and reestablishes those relationships to do what he wants to do today. It's just really surreal.
Can you remember, Ryan? I mean, do you remember meeting him as a sixth grader? Do you really?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, he just stuck out like a sore thumb, you know, and I was...
Because why?
Just because he was so personable and charismatic and uniquely different at a fundamental Christian Bible camp that we all grew up going to.
Huh.
And I grew up, I'm 5 years older than him. So by the time I was a senior in high school, they had asked us to come back, some of the seniors in high school, to come back and work in the kitchen or in the counseling staff to like help because they were shorthanded. And that was one of the years that I met Brandon. He was just a kid.
Wow.
But I just remember him being just so silly and funny. But like, I just knew immediately, like, this kid's got such a profoundly tender spirit. Like, he's got a mantle on his life. I knew it when he was
so
a kid.
Interesting, because your mom was saying the same thing, which you expect mom to say it, but you're when, yeah. when you're somebody, you know, really.
Yeah.
But well, that's been cultivated.
You know, as Brandon, like, I would go back every year and seeing him grow and grow up. And then it's like, I remember one summer I came back and he was like 3 feet taller. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's outgrowing me now. And, but I think that, you know, if I could just maybe speak into Brandon's story, it's special for me as well in hindsight, looking back on how there's no such thing as coincidence. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that exists. The Holy Spirit knew our days and our journey. I mean, we can dig up so many scriptures to, mm-hmm. to lay that out right now. And I won't take that time, but God's brilliance in the way he crafts and weaves our story is so miraculous and so wonderful. And to look back and to see two kids growing up in farming towns in the most overlooked places in the state of Oregon, out in the country. And I know the things that we were growing up on country radio, but, you know, in Christian music band, I know both of us grew up on bands like Petra and DC Talk. And those guys were, you know, they were massive inspirations to 25 years later, Holy Spirit just begins to, what he birthed in us. And I'm not just talking to us, like this is all of us. The Lord birthing things in us to ultimately fulfill his purposes and shifting us into the mainstream of the purposes that he has for our lives. It's so wonderful to see now, 25 years later, I'm hooked up with this guy named Toby Mack, who was my childhood, you know, inspiration. Those guys were heroes to me. And to be working with Toby, and then for Toby to give me the license and the confidence to say, hey, you can't always be just charging forward, worrying about your own career. You have to turn back and you got to look for people to pull up to and help you. And I've seen Toby do that time and time and time again. So for me, you know, years ago, Brandon sent me some of his songs just out of the blue. And I knew he was an awesome musician. I mean, he taught me how to play Tears in Heaven on his guitar when he was a kid. I still remember it, but he's way better than me. He's in every way imaginable, seriously. But for his, you know, he sent me a batch of his songs. He's like, I've been writing all these years.
And you didn't know that?
No.
And how long ago was this when he sent you the songs?
This is probably 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. 5 or 6 years ago. And I just heard him and I was like, man, this is really special. And I was on Goatee at this point in time. And so all the way back then, I showed Brandon's music to our team at Goatee and they loved it. It was just like this, it just wasn't, I don't believe it was the right time for him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one thing leads to a next and I just kind of reintroduced that. I knew I wasn't going to give up on him. I'm like, in my spirit, I just knew he's special. And, the world, Christian music, just people need to be exposed to what, not just his music, but who he is as a person, mm-hmm. who he is as a husband and a dad and as a minister, as a voice for our generation in this culture. It's brought me such amazing just joy and like that proud older brother, like seeing your younger brother spread their wings and fly, and just knowing that, man, I'm thankful to even be involved and play any part, because I know people have done that for me, and it's changed my life. And so I'm just thrilled.
I love just the way that you've described even just the environment of that camp and the relationships that you built. Cause it, I think it sheds for people who are in a stage in their life where they feel like, I don't see anything special happening here, but building relationships, especially building Holy Spirit connected relationships,
yes.
Right? You never know what God's birthing. That's so right. I love that the That's story, right. the way that it goes. Now you said something, you used the phrase, you know, nothing's coincidence. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you can look back on things or connections or whatever along the way, because you've gone from you're on staff in Tacoma, he's coming for a concert. So how did we get from there to where you are today?
Yeah, I'm like listening to him talk, and I love the question, because I go back to, it's either 2 Corinthians 4 or it's 1 Corinthians 4, where Paul calls himself a steward of the mysteries of Christ. What a weighty thing to be a steward of, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the weightiest, most paramount things that we could steward in life are relationships. And every single person under the sound of my voice listening to this is sovereignly graced, gifted, and called by God. There are assignments that the Lord has for us. And the key is to steward, know what God has called us to do, but also steward every relationship that God brings into your life. And so to answer your question, once Ryan and I were always kindred, I loved Ryan. You know, time goes on, I'm in Texas. He's in Idaho. But once we reconnected, it was like nothing, we hadn't missed it or skipped a beat. Like it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's, in fact, the Bible says that God knit the heart of David and Jonathan. They didn't try to make that thing happen. The Lord did that. And so I think it's also really important to know, hey, I so love this person with a supernatural love. And I know that it's not just me trying to get together for coffee with them and force this thing to work.
Yeah.
It's God has knit my heart to this individual. And when you feel that, it's so important to steward those relationships. Even with everything else that we have going on in our world in 2022 and distractions. And so I can honestly just say prioritizing stewarding that relationship and making it a priority to communicate. And all these years later, I can honestly say if music never came out of this, if a deal with Goatee and everything the Lord is doing today, I would still have a great relationship with this guy who I taught how to play Tears in Heaven back in 1996 at Fair Point Bible Camp, because he's my dude. So I think it's a beautiful story. I get stirred in my heart when I talk about it, because it's just the power of stewardship and a great principle in the kingdom.
So you said something like every person has an assignment.
Yes.
Every person has a calling. There are a lot of people listening today who have no idea what that might be, and didn't have the kind of relationship like you had with your mom that cultivated an understanding of that. You have any, I don't know, for somebody who's listening who says, I would love to know what that is. Where do you start?
I would say, number one, what brings you alive? What is it that causes you to come alive on the inside in the interior space? A lot of people tell us things that we're really good at, but if there's not an interior flame, something that, you know, the baby leaps on the inside, so to speak, then you're never going to get any traction. So I would say, first and foremost, what brings you excitement, joy, and follow that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chase that thing. Because the reality is people are, there's oftentimes this stigma like, well, it's selfish for me to pursue something or chase after this thing. But what we have to remind ourselves of on a regular basis is that other people's breakthrough is tethered to your breakthrough. There are other people that are waiting for you to step out that will be blessed, that will be ministered to by you deciding to chase and go after the thing that makes you come alive on the inside. And so stewarding what it is, you know, that God has, maybe you don't even feel like it's a calling, but there's an interest, or it piques your interest, or people are affirming something in your life, you begin to pay attention to those things and prioritize those things and remember that it's not selfish to go after those things. You're actually being a good steward. And so I would say start there. Paul tells Timothy, I think it's in 2 Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God that's on the inside of him. And I heard somebody say a long time ago, and it's so true, that we dishonor our gifts when we neglect our gifts. So engage your gifts, whatever it is that you do know that God has sovereignly graced and gifted you with, engage those things because you're actually honoring the Lord when you are. So I would say that's a good place to start.
There's something about, like, even when somebody like me, who's not musically gifted, goes to a concert and sees someone who is, you walk away inspired because there's something about watching somebody excel and use the gift that God's given them that makes you want to go, what am I gifted at? When I use my gift, when I'm operating in it, there's something that just spreads that encourages other people.
My grandmother has the gift of hospitality. So as a kid, everybody wanted to go to my grandma's house because the atmosphere at grandma's house felt different than the atmosphere at everybody else's house. So whether it's the gift of hospitality, teaching, preaching, the gift of service, find what that is. And it's like you said, you will actually, we're all atmosphere shifters, whether we're preaching, teaching, singing, serving, and finding that thing will bring peace, life, and breakthrough for other people.
Can I say something to that real quick?
Absolutely.
As you're talking, it just reminds me of how, you know, my mother is massively in instrumental in my faith as well. And we resonate so much with that. My mother specifically told me when I was 7 or 8 years old, she said, Ryan, always pay attention to that still small voice and the dreams and the desires inside of you, because the Lord put those things there and he has every intention of bringing those fires and those dreams and visions, that he has every intention of bringing those things to pass in his time. And I've always leaned on that, even as I've, you know, grown up and matured and now a dad and a husband. I still remember those fundamental truths of how the Lord puts things in our heart as almost as that spark and that candle for us to just to walk after, not to just chase and go beat down a door, but in that pursuit and in that foresight, I've always believed, and I speak to it because it's just happened in my own life, in following that nudge and listening to that still small voice. And I would say this to everybody listening who's trying to figure it out. I think there's really something special in the way the Lord begins to orchestrate our circumstances. And Oswald Chambers says this a ton. He says, you know the Lord's plan for your life when he begins to orchestrate your circumstances. You don't ever have to go beat down a door and force your way in. And I know the times that I've tried to knock and beat down the door. And if I got through, it was very lukewarm and I hated the taste and it just was not fun. But when the Lord began to shift me into the mainstream of those purposes, as Chambers says, you don't do anything. It's like riding that wave. It's like the most effortless thing. And you just hop on in obedience and let Holy Spirit take you. And I would just encourage people, yes, pay attention to everything that, you know, as Brandon was just talking about, but really pay attention to those, your circumstances being orchestrated in maybe in peculiar ways.
That's good.
Perhaps you're in a time in life where it all just seems mundane. This conversation was such a good reminder to me of, in the words of Ryan Stevenson, God's brilliance in the way that he crafts and weaves our story. You never know what seeds you're planting in your day-to-day, unexciting, doing life, serving others, building relationships. God is weaving a beautiful story in your life, and he will use the relationships you're investing in as a part of that story. By the way, hang around to the very, very end of this episode. While Brandon was in the studio, he shared a song with us, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you have a chance, visit the Unfolding Facebook page this week. You can see a video of more music from my visit with Brandon and Ryan. Brandon records under the name Richland, so if you want to learn more, head to richlandmusic.com. It's R-I-C-H-L-I-N
ryanstevensonmusic.com. And you can read more about Ryan Stevenson at ryanstevensonmusic.com. Thanks so much to Brandon and Ryan for sharing their stories. Hey, as I mentioned, you're going to want to stick around to the very, very end of the podcast today, not only to hear Brandon's song, but also to hear about a great new podcast episode from my friends Joe and Tara Buchanan. You may remember their story from page 109 of The Unfolding. They have a very special episode of their podcast, Behind Our Smiles. Well, thanks so much to the team that makes The Unfolding possible, Danielle Perez, Elena Nallen, and our producer, Jason Rackow. Thanks to our sponsor, Habib Habib, founder of H Squared Leadership Institute. Find out how Habib can help you unleash the full power of your leadership potential at HabibHabib.com. The Unfolding is produced by Northwestern Media, a ministry of the University of Northwestern St. Paul. We'll be back next week with another page in The Unfolding.
Hi, we're Joe and Tara Buchanan.
And does Mother's Day ever feel complicated for you?
Yeah, growing up, I experienced a lot of trauma, and I never really felt loved by my mom. So Mother's Day doesn't bring up the best memories or feelings for me.
I grew up knowing I was loved, and my biggest dream was becoming a mom. I absolutely love being a mother to our four amazing kids.
So that means when Mother's Day rolls around, we have totally different emotions.
And very different expectations.
This week on the Behind Our Smiles podcast, we're talking about how God has given us space to grieve
and to celebrate this Mother's Day.
You can download the Behind Our Smiles podcast on your favorite podcast player.
It's the sound that's overcoming, calling orphans, your beloved. It's the sound that's drowning out every fear and every doubt. It's the force that still amazes, lifting heads up through the ages. It's the force that's breaking through. Till every eye is turned to you, we can feel it all around. Your love is like the thunder, shaking every heart. You're the light that's breaking through the dark. Your love is like the thunder, waking every eye. You're the hope that rips through the dead of night. We're caught up in the wonder. Your love is like the thunder. Love has come now to awaken every tribe and every nation, and every soul is singing out. We feel the kingdom coming down. We can feel it all around. Jesus, we can feel you now. Oh, your love is like the thunder, shaking every heart. You're the light that's breaking through the dark. Your love is like the thunder, waking every eye. You're the hope that rips through the dead of night. We're caught up in the wonder, the wonder. Your love is like the thunder. It shakes the skies and it moves the seas. It leaves each single heart in perfect peace. Oh, your love is like the thunder, shaking every heart. You're the light that's breaking through the dark. Your love is like the thunder, waking every eye. You're the hope that rips through the dead of night. We're caught up in the wonder. Your love is like the thunder. Your love is like the thunder.